Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Wednesday night streaming. There we go. Streaming night, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I always love Saturday night. Look forward to it. And I'm very happy for everyone that's here. And let's see who is here. Well, we have Sister Sharon here. Hello, Sharon.
Good evening, Chaplain John. I'm happy to be here. And I'm happy to hear your voice.
Okay, well, I'm happy to hear your voice. And how was last night?
It was really good. It started off a little bit slow, and then it started picking up. It was more and more people coming in, and we had a very good time. And one thing I do want to make mention of is that I'm really happy about is Dead Man came in real quick to say hi to everybody. He had some stuff he really needed to work on his house, and that meant going up and down a ladder and doing stuff on a roof. And we all prayed for him immediately, you know, for his safety and everything. And then today I did contact him, and he was so happy that he got everything done he wanted to get done at the time. And he related that to all the prayer that we did for him and for his safety and everything. So that made me happy.
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm glad. And how are you doing physically?
Hanging in there. Let's put it that way. I'm hanging in there.
Hanging in there. All right.
Yeah. I still need prayer for the pain. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. And we have Sister Kathy is here in two places.
Sharon's in two. And how many times is Sharon in?
Two, but you're in a different one, Sister Kathy. It's like your camera is on.
Oh, no. This thing doesn't have a camera.
Yeah, well.
But anyway, it cut me off, so something's going on.
All right. We'll just ignore that other one, and we'll go with this one.
Yes.
All right.
Well, don't hang me up because I want to be
on
both places.
Mm-hmm. No. I'm not touching you. You're
okay,
sacred.
Thank you.
You're sacred, Sister Kathy.
Thank you.
Now, Danny Boy just came here. Danny Boy, where are you?
Yay.
My dog. Come here. He's right here. Oh, here he is, right? Okay. So now here's what he brought me, his toy. It is. You can't see him, but he's next to me, giving me his toy because he wants to play. There, so I'm playing
Well,
with him
I
now.
hear it, but all I see is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit dove.
Oh,
So I'm
yeah.
not seeing a dog, I'm seeing a dove.
All right. Well, okay. Hang on here. You're right. That's all you would. No. I'm showing this open screen here with me on it. It'll come
Okay.
up, I guess. So,
Yeah.
anyways, I had an absolute fantastic time at church today. On Saturday, I go to my Shalom, and there's a woman there that's been teaching. Margot's her name. And anyway, she asked me a couple weeks back if I would come and teach on healing the brokenhearted. She said it felt it was very important. So I said, yeah. So I agreed, but I didn't really, we didn't really keep in contact with each other. But I showed up today ready to teach. So when I came in, that they have what they call yeshiva after service, not before it. So she, big smile on her face. She goes, "You're here. You're here. I didn't know whether you were coming out." I said, "Well, I promised you I would." Now Danny boy's back with the toy. He wants to play in the work. He was real quiet, not doing anything till the show came on, and he grabbed his toy. Now, Sister Kathy, can you see the toy here? I'm holding it up.
No, because my whole screen, I refreshed it and it's frozen now. I'm just seeing you looking straight ahead, but I know it's precious.
Sister Sharon, can you see it?
No, all I see is you, and you seem quite there. Okay, now we see it. I see your donut. Yep. There you go.
There it is. That's it. He's right here to my left, and he's got it up against my leg. He's begging me to play with him.
That's cute.
Yeah. So anyway, she said, "Oh, you're here. Good. I didn't know whether you were showing up." I said, "Oh yeah, I told you. I told you I'd be here." So anyways, I had a Jeremiah Lampier moment. Now, Sister Kathy, do you know what a Jeremiah Lampier moment is?
I'm going to say just a few people were there, but then the doors opened and a boatload came in. No.
Well, a little bit like that. No one showed up. No one showed up.
So
So,
look out next week.
no. Listen what happened. You know, with Jeremiah Lampier, about 20 minutes in, six businessmen showed up. So about 15 minutes in through it, 15 people showed up.
Well, go ahead. That's awesome.
And I didn't really teach anything from the scriptures. I had my whole presentation there ready to go, but it was more of a testimony and then just starting to answer questions. Well, one of the men there said to me, he said, "I'd like you to pray over me. I'd like to see how you pray over me."
Whoa.
So I said, "All right, okay." So I started to pray over him, and I went after, well, he had some horrific background, but I went after it about, "Do you forgive everybody?" And he said, "Yes." "Do you have any, you know how I pray with people?" I did it exactly.
Right.
So I prayed for him. And then at the very end of praying for him, I got a word of knowledge. And
Awesome.
I said to him, "There's trouble with your wife." And he looked at me and he said, "Yes, you're right. Yes, there's big trouble." So I said, "Okay, we're going to pray, and we're going to pray that you're an overcomer, that your heart is so healed." Because he was telling me he didn't have a broken heart, but he wanted me to pray over him. So you see, he has a broken heart, but he didn't know it.
Right.
So I prayed over him and that he was an overcomer and he overcomes love. He overcomes any hatred with love and any strife with peace and any hopelessness and mourning, sorrow, grief with joy of the Lord. I prayed over for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit into his life. And he was very, very thankful. But then he turned and he looked at everybody and he said, I'm going to ask you for silence because if my wife finds out, I said,
yeah,
you know, he said, I asked him to pray for me, meaning me. And he hit the nail on the head with my wife. Wasn't that something?
That is fabulous, Chaplain John. Oh, but I pray they keep it in confidence till she repents or confesses or whatever.
Yeah, he was pretty broken. He was pretty broken over that. But anyways, everybody responded in there. And they were going, this is awesome. This is awesome. And they said, we want you to teach us how you do this.
Wow.
It looked, I mean, the way you went after for healing, do we hate ourselves? You know, to forgive, who do we have to forgive? Do we hate ourselves? Do we have a grudge against God? This is awesome. So this is the Jeremiah Lampier moment.
Yes, indeed.
So the one woman in the back, she said, oh, she just, her and her husband were there. I mean, wow, Lee. This is incredible. We all have to know. Everybody in the church, everybody should know this. This is incredible. Wow, about healing the. She said it's right in front of us. So I had Luke 4:18 up on the. I had it up on the screen, and her husband said, "Well, I can see part of the problem." He goes, "I read. I don't know what it was. E something. EV Bible. Something like
ESV.
That. I don't know. Yeah. Now, whatever it was." It was E. It was an E, not an N. E.
ESV.
Oh, ESV, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got it online and he goes, yeah, I never saw that. He goes, it's not in the ESV. And he read it. And he goes, but there it is in the King James. Wow, he said, wow. That's been taken out of this Bible.
So Chaplain, you are on a precipice of just busting loose Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see you, Sister Kathy, I taught them like I taught you here, us, you know, when I teach on healing the broken heart. It didn't get, well, it did, but as far as the scriptures, I didn't really use the scriptures. I shared other things about, post-traumatic stress disorder, if you're a child, violence and all. And so it was absolutely incredible. That I told you, the woman and her husband, we have to know this. We have to know this. She's a doctor. She's a pediatrician. And
said,
I want this to deal with children and families that are in trouble.
Goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Sister Kathy, it was a Jeremiah Lampier event.
Isn't that awesome?
Because
I never thought you'd experience one, did you?
No, I was sitting there with Margot, the one that invited me to come and teach. And I said, well, it looks like no one's showing up. And I wasn't upset. I mean, I wasn't happy about it. She said, well, we'll see. Let's wait. So we me and her were talking, and then two, three people came in, and then another person, they drifted in. And then all of a sudden we had, about 15.
Gosh.
And it went late. It's only supposed to be for an hour, but I was there. Well, they came late, but it was a good hour and a half there with them. So next week we're going to start the formal training, and they asked they asked me if I would provide them with an outline, and I said I can't guarantee you the first week, but I said I will provide an outline. And I said this teaching which I'm giving will make sure that you have a, you're completely in line with God as your Abba Father. That's where this is leading to. I said, oh, wow, good, great. I said, they were all so excited. So it made me excited.
And then they can all in turn teach others. So that is just the ripple continual effect.
And like I said, the one woman's a pediatrician.
Mm-hmm.
She runs into families that are stressed out and there's violence and all of that. And she said, I know now how to deal with this. She goes, we're dealing with like broken hearts and families. And I said, absolutely.
It would be great if you could have a satellite office in one of her rooms once a week or something like that. That would be awesome.
And she told me, now she Rhonda is in it. She's a I'm going to say professional dancer besides being a doctor.
Mm.
And both her daughters are dancers, big time dancers. And she said to me, I can see how my daughters can use this because the field they're in is a huge amount of lesbians and homosexuals. And I said, well, you can be sure that they've all got broken hearts.
Yes.
She said, yes. She said, this is wonderful for my daughters. This is wonderful for them. So, I mean, there you can see it looks like it's got branches going already, you know.
Amen. Amen. My goodness. Just think of all the brokenhearted people that are going to have opportunities to hear it personal. Oh, my goodness.
Everyone there, every single one there was, I mean, they actually saw me in person. He asked me out of the blue. He said, I don't think I have a broken heart, but I'd like you to pray over me. That's what he said. And they watched me praying. And then at the end, he said to me, Rhonda, I said, It sounds like Rwanda, but it's not a name. It's a little odd name. She said, I saw you following through on what you normally do. She goes, that was obvious. But she said, your whole voice changed. When you zeroed in on his wife, she said, I knew you got that from the Lord. That's what she said to me.
I knew. That is so obvious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, when you do it on the line and you just, it's kind of like, bing, there's the red light, there's the blinking light over the person of their problem. It is unbelievable.
Yeah. So they all want that. They all want to be able to pray with people. I said, well, we'll do it. We'll do it. So next week.
For sure.
Next week it starts.
Oh, Chaplain John, that is so absolutely fantastic.
Isn't that a Jeremiah Lampier moment?
I agree. You have had one. You and your predecessor, Jeremiah Lampier, have the same experience.
Okay. Now, another experience, and then we'll get into the teaching. I'm dealing with a man that I think I told you about. I did tell you about. And he's going to help me with, like, OBS and computers and all
Emmanuel.
That. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So... He it turns out he's a lawyer. I found out he was a lawyer.
Oh, my goodness.
So then when I was talking to him, I told him about my case there in York, Pennsylvania.
Right.
So he said, send it to me. So we're on the phone, and I emailed it to him, and he opened it up, and he's looking at it, and he goes, I know four lawyers. They're going to be super interested. This is really something. So that was not yesterday, the day before yesterday. So yesterday is when he told me all about the other lawyers. He mailed it already to some lawyers in California and all. So I said to him, Jerry is his name. I said, Jerry, I want to give you the backstory on this. So I told him about my daughter, Rachel.
Yes.
And how she went to her very first class in law school at Duquesne, the very first assignment, was McTernan versus the City of York?
Well, or you wouldn't know about it.
All right. That's what I said to him. I wouldn't know that this is being taught in law school now, this case. He said, you didn't know that. I said, no, until my daughter called me up. And she was all flustered because she's dealing with all liberals. And the case is, from when they see me, John McTernan, I'm super, in their minds, I'm an insane pro-lifer. You know what I mean? With the liberals. So she said, I was so concerned. It was the first day it would all blow up.
Yeah. But then I'll get expelled.
COVID came and they did everything by Zoom. So anyways, this is what he said to me. He said, you have some stories. He said, because this guy's a publisher. He's a publisher. And he told me to write short stories. But he said, you got so many stories. Write short stories. So first I said, nah. And then today I emailed him or I texted him. And I said, look, I got peace from the Lord about it. I said, I thought about it because I've got them in my mind and it's not hard to put it down there. So I said, I'm going to take up your suggestion about the short stories. And because when he told me about it, he said, these stories are incredible. He said, you've got to write short stories.
Uh-huh.
So I texted him today. He didn't get back to me, but I want to talk to him about, I want to explore this about the short stories that he's talking about. The only problem is I can't, it's hard for me to think of the stories until something comes up. As soon as something comes up, it triggers in my mind and then I can do it. Like right now, I could tell you about my daughter, Rachel, and what happened in that, but everything else is like, it's not there until
it's locked up till the key gets inserted.
Yeah, until it's triggered. Yep. So, sister, let me see here. Let me get over here. Right here. All right. Oh, we have Rita here. Hello, Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John. Hello to everyone. I'm enjoying your the conversation.
Okay. Well, we got to get into the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then we have Gigi and Randy here. Hello.
Yes. Those are great things that happen. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. And you're in beautiful colors tonight, Gigi.
Good. Great. I have no control over that. But I do. May I ask one question, please?
Just one.
Okay. How did Friday go?
Oh, yeah, I was going to tell you that. We had, at the end, something happened. Now, we had to close early, and I think it may have been the Muslims. So Jamil said to me, I'm sorry, we got to close early. He said, we got to close. So I said, can you offer us a salvation prayer? He said, yes. And then he prayed for salvation prayer. And then he asked me to, finish. So I prayed for the healing of the broken hearts and stuff kind of quick. And then I haven't heard from him. In fact, I'm looking right now and he has not gotten to me. So, but something did happen at the end. But I got the whole.
Yeah, because we've been praying. We prayed before, we prayed during, we prayed after. So prayed for protection and, there would be many people that would come to Christ. So we'll keep praying.
Yeah, there was a nice crowd there size-wise. And but I have no idea. And he didn't get back to me, which is unusual. So when things like that happened in the past, it was usually the Muslims or the police, came because he was very troubled in his voice. We got to close now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll keep praying about that.
All right. So, Sister Sharon.
Okay, thank you.
Sister Sharon.
Yes, Chaplain John.
Would you give
yes, Chaplain John.
Yeah, would you give thanks for today and everything that happened and Friday too, because I, you know, the gospel did go out on Friday.
Yes, I will. Dear Father God, I come before you and I ask you to give thanks and to everybody to give thanks for everything that has happened with the teachings and the preachings and everything that's going on with Chaplain John. And that I also want to pray that everything is okay with Jamil and everything that. And I'm just so thankful, dear Father, that Chaplain John has had such an uplifting experience and stuff that he's just delighted. And you can just see it in his face and his reaction that he is just so, so delighted. And I just want to say thank you for that. And that we just need to keep praying for each other and praying for overseas and stuff for everybody that we hope to hear from on a good constant basis. And dear Father, I just pray that all is well with everybody overseas. And I just pray that everything continues to go well and just wonderfully with Chaplain John's teachings and preachings and stuff, and that he can have his Jeremiah Lampier moment and stuff. And I just thank you. I just thank you for that and for Abba Father International and stuff. There's so many people who want to be here and want to pray. And I just thank you, dear Father God. And in your name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Sharon. Sister Kathy, did I send you the video of me speaking, the apologetics message?
Yeah, and I sent it to everybody.
Okay, I didn't look at it at all. Did you look? How was the quality of it?
Yes. Well, the little building is kind of, you know, not elaborate, but the quality of the copy was excellent, and it really was so good.
Oh, you did watch it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The funny thing was, though, when the man, was it the preacher, the rabbi that was going to try to tell you what house meant in Hebrew? And you
That wasn't the pastor.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
I thought he looked like he came from the same area, or it sounded like it was coming from the same area that he walked over and gave you the long stick. And I'm like, yes. Oh, my goodness, but that was funny. That was really funny.
Yeah, that's a very rude thing to do.
Well, especially when you said later, after I finish, and he said, yeah, after you finish, I'll tell you that house is what it means in Hebrew.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
He just wouldn't quit.
Because people probably don't, they probably don't realize this, or I don't think they do it. But it breaks my train of thought, you know, when you interrupt like that. I'm going along and I've got things developing and, you know, I'm maybe three or four thoughts ahead of where I am right speaking, putting things together. And when he does that, it's like I got to start all over again.
Right. It breaks the train of thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But was there any pictures like of the place itself, or was it just me?
It was just you.
Okay. Because to your right, looking at me, is where the Ark of the Covenant. It wasn't too far out of
sight. It did show that. It did show this. It had the two screens to your left and to your right.
Did you see the Ark of the Covenant?
Well, there was a picture of it, but I'm trying to think if we did actually see the real thing, but it was a beautiful picture and then the tabernacle, but I honestly can't be sure now.
Yeah, you would know it.
The actual thing.
You would see it. It's big like it is in reality. And then the menorah is on the other side of the Ark of the Covenant. So,
well, I know it didn't show the menorah and it didn't show the, Ark there continually, you know, it zoomed in on you, but it, I'm not, I can't be sure if it didn't pan over and show that.
Did he have the did he have the teaching in it of Psalm 110?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because yeah. I got tremendous feedback from Psalm 110.
Yeah, it was just awesome, the whole thing. It was 58 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, there was a lot out. He got the meat of it in there. He got the meat of it in there. Okay, so let's look at now. If anybody would like that, it's 58 minutes of me teaching about Ezekiel 43 and proving from the scriptures that the Messiah of Israel and the God of Israel are one. That's our faith. Oh, and Sister Kathy, thinking of that, the Lord, it had to be the Lord. He wants me, next time I teach that, to say our doctrine. I mean, I do it as I go into the teaching, but up front, what our doctrine is, that the Messiah of Israel and the God of Israel are one and the same.
Yeah, so that would be a good thing to start with.
And then that's what I'm proving as we go, because I do say it, but it should be up front. So I'm going to add that to it. But if anybody would like that teaching, you can let me know or Sister Sharon, and we'll send it to you. And they loved. I had that artist's rendition of Ezekiel at the river Chebar, looking to the north, and this big like fire clouds coming. Do you remember that in it, Sister Kathy?
Well, I remember hearing you say that, but I had stepped away from the screen.
The people there, when they looked at it, they got out of the pews and all, and they were taking video of it or pictures
My
of
goodness.
It.
My goodness.
Yeah, they really loved it. Mm. Really loved it. Okay, here we go. Finally, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, to hear, I'm not going to show it yet. I got to find the spot. Last week, I gave background, like the Psalms talking about meditating on God's work, and then the cycles of revival in the book of Judges. And let me see what else we covered. No, that's all we covered. And what I want to do now is is the foundation of the great, we'll go the first great awakening. Now, American history with the Lord is very unique because there have, going back to actually the late 1600s and coming forward, every 40 to 50 years, you know, it's roughly like, we'll say a generation, maybe a little more than a generation. God has sent great outpourings of the Holy Spirit that have shaken the country. And the country would be in steep spiritual decline. And the Lord would raise up. Yeah, in fact, I might as well go over this. The Lord would raise up. This is the way the sequence is. The country's in trouble, and the remnant is crying out to the Lord. So the Lord raises up one really preacher. Well, sometimes they're not preachers. One person, one church in one area, and he sends like a spiritual bomb, like a nuclear spiritual bomb, using that one person and that one church, and then it going out, touching the country. And what I realized is, in looking at this, is the pattern for it, believe it or not, is Pentecost. You had one location, the upper room, and God used one apostle, Peter, And the Apostle Peter was the lightning rod, and through him, you had the 3,000 souls came to the Lord that day, and the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit was on affecting the whole world eventually from Jerusalem. So there you go. You've got one church, the upper room. You've got one person, the Apostle Peter, and the Lord used him to ignite this tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that seems to be the pattern, especially dealing with America. I haven't, there have been other revivals in England, Wales, Great Britain. We have that one man there. I just can't think of his name. The Welsh Revival. There you go. One man, one church.
Evan Roberts.
Evan Roberts. And there you go. There's another example of it. I don't know why, folks, but that's God's pattern throughout history, and especially, without a doubt, American history. So when we look at American history, we go back starting in 1760, and there was a preacher there named Solomon Stoddard, and he was in Massachusetts along the Connecticut River, and he preached in one church for 50 years, or I think maybe even more than that. But he was there for a long, long time. Now, there was not a heavy population, and like kind of west of the Connecticut River, and Connecticut was, you're getting into like wild country, and then you get into New York there, it's wild, and New Hampshire and Vermont and all. I mean, it was sparsely populated. But Pastor Stoddard was astute. He was astute. And he watched how the Lord worked. And he wrote about it. And it was very, very, he was right on. And he talked about seasons like a tree. There was the way that the Lord worked. And he said in the winter, there's no leaves and no fruit. And he says in his church, minister, as a pastor, there were seasons where no one cared about the Lord. He said there was no one getting saved. Nothing was happening. He called that the winter. But then you got the summer coming where there was a big harvest and all. So he noticed these patterns, that there were spiritual patterns, and that you could preach and do all sorts of things with very little fruit. But then at another season, it was like incredible fruit for the Lord. So he picked up, there were patterns of God moving, like with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and there were times when there was nothing going on. And he wrote about that, these cycles. And now he became, or his grandson, was Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher, and the known as the, I'm going to say the father of the first great awakening in America. Now, when Solomon Stoddard could no longer minister, his son, grandson, Jonathan Edwards, came and took over the church. So Jonathan Edwards learned all of this from his grandfather. So then we come into the late 1730s and into the early 1740s. And spiritually speaking, America is in big trouble. So, okay, let me back up because I got a little ahead of myself. Solomon Stoddard, pastored the First Church of Northampton for 60 years. The spiritual condition in 1683, this is from the Reverend Samuel Torrey of Weymouth, there have been a virtual decay, a decay upon the very vitals of religion by a deep declination in the life and power of it, that there is already a great death upon religion, little more left than a name to live. That is the things which remain are ready to die, and that we are in great danger of dying together with it. So that was the spiritual condition in 1683. But then Samuel Stoddard writes about in the 1690s, there was a big move of the Lord. But a big move of the Lord, remember, folks, we had such a small population, but Stoddard was talking about along the Connecticut River, there were revivals taking place. Now, I don't know what that entails. I don't mean if that's two or three people coming to the Lord. I don't know. But that's what he wrote about. Along the Connecticut River, there was a great move of the Spirit in 1690, which changed the whole condition. What was written about in the 1680s, in the 1690s, God sent an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and it completely reversed it. Life came back. And that's part of that cycle that Stoddard talked about. So Solomon Stoddard here, I'm quoting him now, that the church is like a tree. And learn from hence that the church of God is subject to great changes. Sometimes religion flourishes, and sometimes it languishes. It is indeed so with particular souls. Sometimes they go from strength to strength, and the hearts are lifted up in the ways of God. And at other times, they are slumbering condition. They are like sick men that are unfit for service, like trees in the winter. So it is with the church of God. There is but little of the presence of God among them. There is great scarcity of godly men. Iniquity abounds, and the love of many wax cold. At other times, religion is the great thing that is minded. All right. Now we're going to start with Stoddard here. Stoddard was known as a powerful preacher and followed his own advice completely. In response to his strong preaching and pastoral methods, five awakenings or harvests, as he called them, came upon the church in the area of Northampton, 1679, 1683, 1696, that was the big one, 1696, 1712, and 1718. More souls were turned to Christ than in any other time in New England before the Great Awakening. So that's the cycles that Stoddard picked up on. And when in those years, there was an abundance of souls saved, but the years in between, you know, there maybe a soul here and a soul there. Solomon Stoddard completed an amazing pastoral of 60 years. Due to his failing health, the church in 1727 called for an assistant to aid him. They selected Stoddard's grandson, Jonathan Edwards. This was a monumentous decision. Edwards became the leading colonial advocate of awakenings and America's greatest theologian. The first great awakening. Okay, the time periods. Now, this is wrong. I have to, and I don't know how I'm going to be able to undo this, because it may have come from Revival Radio TV. I'm not sure, but the Great Awakening of America. Well, let's look when it first starts, and then I'll explain how this isn't quite right. Time period. It's really the late 1730s and the early 1740s. The official start was July 8th, 1741. The pastor was Jonathan Edwards. He preached a sermon titled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And that was out of Amos chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. It's on the cover of that, on the right-hand side as you look, it's that sermon, and it has a cover. Is it Amos? That should be 9. It's in Latin numerals. They used to use that when I was a kid, I remember, in school. And I hated those Latin. Just say 19 something or 20 something. You don't have to go with the Latin stuff. That's all dropped now. Amos 9:1. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the posts may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, hence shall my hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, hence I will bring them down. So that's the text that he preached on there. It's verses 2 and 3. 2 and 3. Though they dig into hell, hence shall my hand take them. Though they climb into heaven, hence I will pull them down. And though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, that's the mount there in Israel, I will search and take them out hence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, hence I will command the serpent, and they shall bite them. All right, that's a tough scripture, but that's what he preached. And there was great response. I mean, the Holy Spirit fell, and the reports, eyewitnesses say, Jonathan Edwards spoke in like a monotone. He was more like a lecturer. And the sermon was written out, and he had it on the top of the podium, and he was looking down, reading it like he never looked up. But the Holy Spirit fell, and people started running out of the church. The feeling of hell was so strong that they thought the church was going to fall into hell. And there was such conviction on them and power that they literally, they ran out the doors of the church and started knocking on the surrounding houses. And that's how the outpouring of the Holy Spirit started. And then he did speak, I think, in some other churches, and went back to he was visiting at this church. This church was not his church in Enfield. That's Enfield, Connecticut. His church was in Massachusetts. He was a visiting pastor here. But as he preached, more and more power came, more people were coming to the Lord. And that's how it spread. But the actual day that it started, the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit fell, was July 8th, 1741, at the Enfield Church, Enfield, Connecticut. And his church was he was the pastor of the Church of Christ in Northampton, Massachusetts. Yeah, so there it is. That sermon, there was a lot of prayer behind it. And that sermon was the fire that ignited revival fire all over, in the northern part of America. Now I have a picture up there, because there was a tremendous preacher, George Whitefield, he was in the 1730s preaching, and he was winning a lot of people to the Lord, especially in Connecticut and Pennsylvania, particularly Philadelphia and other areas. So he already had some revival fires going. But Jonathan Edwards' Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God set like a forest fire throughout the country. So these fires that George Whitefield was starting with his preaching kind of joined by what happened with Jonathan Edwards. And the estimates, and I don't know how they estimated, but 25% of America came to the Lord during this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's called the First Great Awakening. and the revival fires were burning, not strongly, but they were still burning up to the time of the American Revolution. And secular writers, now they won't do it today. I'm sure they won't do it today. But back in the day, before they really, you know, begin to hate America and hate Christianity and all, they attributed the American victory during the Civil War, the Revolutionary War over the British, as the spiritual strength that came from the First Great Awakening to endure it. Because remember, the war actually started in 1775, April 19th, 1775, when the British marched on Lexington and Concord. So when we get to July 4th, it had already been going for over a year. And the war officially didn't come to an end like till 1783. Now in 1781, Cornwallis surrendered his army at Yorktown. That stopped the major part of the war, but the British was still raiding coastal cities. They were still making some movements going inland, but the big battles were all over. But the war did not officially end until March of 1784. So it's like 9 years. It's 9 years. And the historians attribute the ability to endure it by the colonists, which, you know, like all the Americans, they attributed it to, they called it the revival of religion. It was the revival of religion that did it. Now, when I got into this, I told you that I wasn't quite accurate with the timing of it. I'm accurate with the timing of it in New England and New York and Pennsylvania, but those revival fires didn't catch hold in the South, like North Carolina, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, until later, like the 1740s and 50s. And there are even, as I study this, and I don't remember where I got that information from. I'm going to have to look and see if it was revival radio and TV. But the fires in the South burned much later. So it was like two phases to it. But everything that I had read always focused on the first phase in the North. But the second phase went into the South, and wherever I was getting that information, some of it was burning up into the actual Declaration of Independence. But that was, again, as I said, in the South. But the revivals of religion, that's what they called it. And that was the First Great Awakening. Now, I think I have some statistics with this. All right. There is George Whitefield, and he was the founder of the University of Pennsylvania. And his great buddy was Benjamin Franklin, and Franklin published Whitefield's sermons, which had a great impact on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Franklin and Whitefield were very, very close friends, very close. Franklin was known for, Whitefield had an anointed voice from the Lord, and Franklin measured out the area that could be heard, his voice, and it was some enormous distance, folks. I mean, Franklin was absolutely shocked how far his voice carried. That's why he could preach to 20,000 people or 30,000 with no megaphone or anything, because he had this anointed voice. And Franklin also said, when Whitefield preached, he was so persuasive, he used to preach on raising funds for his orphanage in Georgia. And Franklin would say, no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't resist him. And he'd end up emptying his pockets into the basket raising the funds for the orphanage in Georgia. He said he was so persuasive. Now, let me see here. Yeah, okay, I'm going to have to go through this more because I have a lot in between this and the second revival. I haven't looked this in a long time, folks. I knew I had it, so I just went to it. But what happened was they said in like 1741, researchers said there was like six, it was very few, six Baptist churches. Now, I don't know if that was in a certain area or a certain state, but it was like just Baptist churches in general. 10 years later, there was like 400. I have this all listed, and I thought I had it here, but I must have it in another file. And then the numbers, they estimate that 25% of the population during the first Great Awakening came to the Lord. You know, that's on top of the people that were already believers. And so many churches were created during that period of time. So if you look at it, it was huge percentage-wise, folks. Huge. That's why they call it the First Great Awakening. A huge amount. It shook America to its core. Because it wasn't only the people coming to the Lord. They were coming to the Lord with great conviction. And like I say, the older historians, not the modern ones, the older historians, they referred to it as revival of religion. And they said it was the revival of religion that gave the Americans the strength and the faith to endure the Civil War, the Revolutionary War. Percentage-wise, you know, there was a lot of soldiers that died. If you look at it, it doesn't seem much, maybe, compared to the Civil War and other wars. But the population was small then. So there was great suffering, folks, during the Revolutionary War. All right, I want to cover the second great... Oh, so the First Great Awakening is the one that started in Connecticut in 1741, officially. And that gave the revival fires, gave the strength for the American Revolution. Then 60 years later, America was in great decline again, and that's where we come with the second Great Awakening, and that starts in Logan, Kentucky, with Pastor James McCready and his church, the Red River Church. That's where it starts. And then the third one, a lot of times it's called the Third Great Awakening. In some reports, it's not called that. But I think the Third Great Awakening fits it. And this was not a preacher. He was just a worker in a church. It was downtown New York, Fulton Street, New York, 1857. So there's the first great... Well, we got Jonathan Stoddard. Excuse me, Samuel Stoddard. And then you have 1740, about 50 years later, you have his grandson with the Great Awakening. Then 60 years later, you have Pastor James McCready and the Logan County Great Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So there's 60 years. Both of them are about 50, 60 years apart. Then you go another 57 years, and you have the Great Outpouring of the Holy Spirit led by Jeremiah Lampier, who was not a pastor. He was a church worker. And the church was nominally involved in it. It kind of started there. And it was weird. It was called the North Dutch Reformed Church. And then the next one was 1906 the great Azusa Street Outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That was led by Brother Seymour, Pastor Seymour, and Azusa Street is officially where it started. And then you go 1968 with Pastor Smith in California, and I just can't think of the name, Calvary, the Calvary Church. That started the Jesus, we call the Jesus Revolution. That really did have a big impact on America. In fact, that's during that great outpouring is when I came to the Lord. So I hope to have my hands in both. The one starting in 1968, I came to the Lord in 1974, and then reaching out to the one that's upon us right now in 2015. That'll be kind of neat to be able to touch both of them. So that's the history of the great outpourings of the Holy Spirit in America. And you see, there have been revivals in between, and they have had great revivalists like Charles Finney, for example. And Charles Finney was incredible what he did, but it was localized. Like he hit Rochester, New York. A huge, incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And there were other places in New York City, in Boston, and other areas he would go into. But it didn't affect the whole country. So there have been a lot of and a lot of soul winning. I mean, D.L. Moody won millions to the Lord, and Billy Sunday, and there were a lot of lesser known but powerful evangelists, Mordecai Ham. I can't think of the others. My mind's gone blank. But there were numbers of incredible pastors between these great outpourings of the Holy Spirit. Hello, Brother Jamil.
Good morning, Brother Shalom.
Yeah, you just got up, I could see.
Yeah, I just got up because I need to be ready for the Sunday services.
Okay. I didn't get a chance to get updated with you, but we kind of closed in a hurry on Friday. Well, what happened?
Oh, it was awesome. And the meeting was awesome over there, and approximately 600 people were gathered over there.
Wow.
And the space was less we have, but mostly people were standing outside over there, even we don't have, because extra people will come over there. And there is two youths come by own self over there, and they heard about the message. And they said that awesome. And the impact of the youth is they want to be with you in the next level of the conference.
Who was this?
You know,
what name did you say?
Youth leaders.
Youth leaders, yes.
Yeah, young people. They want to be with you the next level. And they request me, Brother John, have the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit series or just a message. They asked me. I said, you have a different kind of messages with the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, different thoughts. So I will be talked to him. They said that we want to be moved forward, not we want to be stay on these messages. Because they said that we are so impressed and so encouraged by the power of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So request is that please talk to Brother John, that we want to be learn more about it.
Yeah, there's more that I can do. What would go along real good is the outpouring, the Blessed Hope. The Blessed Hope would go really good with that. The Blessed Hope teaching.
And the leader said that it is possible that Brother John can also do some teaching material about the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. because they are so glad about the brochures. They said thank you and request to Brother John that you accept our invitation and you send in brochures. We're really thankful to you, but we need more brochures. I left only 1,000 brochures with me. Algon?
How many did you give out?
I gave 6,000 brochures.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Any idea how many souls came to the Lord?
Yes, it's because all the leaders were over there, and we expect, I think, some 50 souls were there. Those who are non-believers, 50.
Okay.
Right. Because the most of the people were already believers, and youths and the women youth and the pastors, elder deacons were there.
Okay. All right. Well, the church was edified. That's what was so important.
Yes. So they want to be go with the next level but with the teachings with you.
Okay. But at the end, it was like real hurried. And I was curious about closing at the end.
You can't believe. Suddenly, some security reason, you know, because we have still Ramadan here. Still Ramadan. And because it's the end of the Ramadan and it's going to close the Ramadan. And tomorrow we have last day here in Pakistan of the Ramadan. So because then they have the festival. So a lot of security is around everywhere on the cities, even in Faisalabad, everywhere. Because when they have the festival, so multitude the people out of the roads came up over there. For the shoppings, for a lot of things to be.
Oh, okay.
So they give a lot of, you know, security reasons. So that's why people said that because a lot of Gentiles came over there on that roads where we have meeting. So we're expecting might be they cannot make any problems. That's why we cover up.
All right. Well, I've got teaching going on right now. So let me pray, Jamil. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful report that souls came to you, Lord, and that the church was edified, the pastors were edified, they felt strengthened, Lord, in you, and that that power would increase and increase, Lord, and there would be a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in that area. So thank you, Lord. We pray for more opportunities. And I thank you. Continue to bless Pastor Jamil and his whole family, Lord. And we thank you, thank you, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that was exciting that there was 600, you know, pastors and believers there and church workers and all. So hopefully there was a great infilling of the Holy Spirit on them with power.
Yes. And that's what they give you, and giving thanks to the Abba Father Fellowship that we provide them food, dinner. Okay.
Yeah, I saw the big buckets being carried there. There were big, huge buckets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll be in. We'll be in touch.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
After tonight, I will be talking to you.
All right.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, Sister Kathy.
Yes.
We were talking about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that's what I was preaching on to 600 church people on last Friday.
Pretty evident that it's alive and well.
Yeah. Yeah, we even had 50 souls come to the Lord.
So amazing.
Yeah, Jamil said, yeah, they were all strengthened. You know, that's what he said. They were all strengthened. All right. Well, that was perfect timing, him calling in, and that's what we're discussing here.
Absolutely.
All right. So we have these patterns in America. Every 50 to 60 years, there's been a huge decline. There's a big surge for the Lord. Incredible things are happening. and then it's like the plug is pulled, and it would, the church, the people become more and more worldly, deep in sin, and they're turning their back on the Lord, and the Lord sends another revival. And right up until now, one's due right now, folks. Right now, there's another great outpouring. If we follow history and the way the Lord has worked in history, we're due for another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I mean, literally right now. So the next one is 60 years later, and it's called the Great Revival of 1800, or the Second Great Awakening. And it changed the course of American history. And that's how I define great outpourings and the great awakenings. It doesn't touch locally or one area. The whole country is shaken by it. And that's something that's kind of a little bit unique for America too, is these great, the country is big, folks. And the country is big, so if you have a smaller country, that's like one state in America. But these great outpourings affected the whole country. And that's what we'll pick up next week, because I have to go back and look at this and put it in order. I thought I had the right teaching, but because I have several outpourings of Holy Spirit, so I got to go through them and put them in order. But we'll pick up the Second Great Awakening. It's called the Great Revival of 1800. It changed the course of American history. It eventually affected the world. And it's the center is Logan County, Kentucky. That Logan County had a nickname back then, and it was called Rogue's Harbor, because there was no law there, and the criminals would go in there, and it was just terrible with alcohol and fighting and prostitution and all of that. And the church there was upset by the condition. The church there was very upset that their children were being lost to the world. And there was one preacher, James McCready, and there were three churches. He pastored three small churches, the Red River, the Gasper River, and I think the third one was the Mud River. And he was a circuit rider for those three churches. And they started a prayer covenant about an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And originally they set it for 1 year, but I found out I think it went 2 years. And at the end of those 2 years, the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit hit that little church in Logan, Kentucky, and eventually shook all of America. And 20 years later, it started the great American mission movement from America. So this outpouring of the Holy Spirit literally affected the world. As the outpouring was still going on, the fires were still taking place in 1820, and missionaries went all over the world. So the second Great Awakening touched the world. The third Great Awakening touched the world. The fourth Great Awakening touched the world. And the fifth one, the Jesus Revolution, I'm not aware of it touching the world like the other ones did. It's not known for it, but the second and third Great Awakenings, Azusa Street, certainly is. Okay, so we'll call it a night now on the great outpourings of the Holy Spirit. And Sister Paula Jean is here. Paula Jean, do you have any questions or comments? You might have yourself muted, Paula Jean. Sister Gigi and Randy, do you have any questions or comments?
Just that it's good to hear that again. And we were thrilled that Pastor Jamil called in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to hear him. So,
yeah, it was
like
great.
He said, this little group here of us were able to affect like 600 pastors and church workers and evangelists and that in an area of Pakistan.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's interesting to know about the Great Awakenings and what was going on. Good reminder. Thank you very much.
Yeah. You know, God, the church had to be strong for America to come into existence because of the endurance, the hardships that had to be endured.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of civilians were killed. There was bad blood between the pro-British supporters, the king, supporting the king, and those supporting the revolution, and the Tories, as they were called, the ones that supported the king, they would go through and they would burn out towns and kill people and burn farms down. And so it caused a lot of bad blood and, it was really difficult. And the British Army was a crack army. It was like the top army in the world. Basically, it was going up against farmers here.
Yeah.
So, that took tremendous endurance to be able to do that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And then we had what was known as the Black Robe Regiment. Have you ever heard of them? That was the preachers. In case you're not familiar, back then in the 1770s, when a preacher preached, he would get up on a high position in the church, and they put on a black robe when they were preaching. So it was called the Black Robe Regiment because when they finished, they take the black robe off and they'd have their gun handy. And many of the people in the church would have their guns and they would go out and fight the British. So they got the nickname of the Black Robe Regiment, the pastor leading their congregation.
No, it's so interesting to hear about that, and because it's so much out of our reality. But when you think about it, what's going on in the church worldwide has really not too much to do with the church here.
In what sense?
Well, in the sense of, the church in Iran, the churches in different places like Indonesia, and other countries that are closed countries or where people are surviving and the Christians, but they, it's an everyday struggle. It's an everyday struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. With the Hindu believers, well, it's not that easy with the, amongst the Muslims either, but, the Hindus that come to the Lord, it's really difficult, and not because they're believers in the Lord. It's just the condition that the Muslims put them in because they're Hindus.
Yeah. Right.
So when they come to the Lord, they're still debt slaves. And the things I saw there, Jamil showed me this one village. They have a cart with like a donkey pulls it. And in the morning, they have like a 55-gallon drum on the back of the cart, and they go to some river, I think it's miles away, and they fill it with water, and they bring it back to the village, and that's their water. That's the water that they, and it gets exceedingly hot. There's no air conditioning like we know it. So, the Lord's really blessed us here, greatly blessed us here. We don't want to take that for granted. Okay, so let's see now. Gene, did you come back? All right, Sister Sharon, any questions, any comments? Sharon, did you mute yourself?
All right, I'm sorry. I had me muted at this end, too. I really enjoyed that a lot. And I love hearing about the different awakenings and the preachers and all the revivals and stuff. It's nice to hear about that. And it's just amazing that how all those, the years that separated all of them were so similar, you know, 50 years and,
right,
and the next 50 years.
Right,
and
60 years, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I'm pretty sure I told this already, but when I was an agent there, headquartered out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, my actual headquarters was Philadelphia. So I would have to go into Philadelphia fairly often. A lot of it was not overnight. Sometimes it was. So overnight, there was a hotel just two blocks away from the federal building. And every time I would come out of the hotel, I would come out the front door and make a left and walk to the federal building. But one day, I don't know, I knew what it was. Independence Square there in Philadelphia was right there. And the Liberty Bell was right there. So I went over to kind of walk through it as a sightseer there. And so on the way back, I came the opposite way to the hotel than I normally would. So as I was coming to the front entrance, they had high bushes, but there was a cutout. And I looked at the cutout, and up against the wall there of the hotel was a big bronze plaque. So I walked over and I looked at the bronze plaque, and it was amazing. It said, on this spot, in 1740, the great evangelist George Whitfield preached his sermons to tens of thousands and all. And I go, wow, how do you like that? It was a historical site. You know, the state of Pennsylvania was recognizing George Whitfield, but at the exact spot that I was staying in as a hotel, I mean, the exact spot all those years right before is where George Whitfield would preach his revivals in Philadelphia.
That's something else.
I should have taken a picture of that. Okay. All right. Paula Jean, are you back? He's not. And Sister Kathy, did I ask you if you had any questions or comments?
No, not yet. But you know there had to be some residue left from that.
Yes.
Speaking,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. The exact spot. That's where the hotel was.
Amazing.
And then we have. Yeah, go ahead.
You're not too far away where they had the Bible school that, William Seymour, Charles Parham had the school, but William Seymour got his start there, and that's where he left. So you're surrounded by great and amazing moves of the Lord.
Yeah, that school there with Parham, I believe his name.
Parham, P-A-R-H-A-M.
Parham. That street's no longer there, but I did look it up, and it's pretty well downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an office building where it
right
was.
So
there's no
Rupert Street, wasn't it?
I don't remember. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. But I would have liked to have gone if it was there. I would have liked to have gone down to see it, but it's all demolished, and they have a big office building there.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it on the web, you know, on Google kind of thing. But it also has the pictures of what it did look like when it was standing there. So
yeah,
that's a neat.
Mm-hmm. It looked like a big house from 1880,
1890. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Sure did.
A big house.
Two-story.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Okay, then we have Sister Rita.
I have no questions, Chaplain John.
Okay.
I was blessed by the teaching. So thank you.
All right. Well, we're leading up to the Great Revival of 2025. How's that? Huh? The Great Revival
Amen.
Of 2025.
Amen.
But I can tell you, Paula Jean is waking up. Hello, Paula Jean.
I came in. Yes, I came in. I came back from a memorial, and it was so awesome. We had been praying there would be a move of the Holy Spirit and that people who hadn't received the Lord would receive the Lord. And it was just beautiful, and I couldn't believe it, but I did believe it when I saw it. Their remembrance pamphlet that they passed out about the fellow who died, the back side of it gave the opportunity for anybody that didn't know the Lord who wanted to receive the Lord. It brought them through the prayer and everything if they wanted to do it, and said, you know, get a good Bible and join a powerful church of people who love the Lord and teach from the scripture, you know, and to follow through, you know, to follow through and get more understanding of what you just aligned with. But the people who were in the family gave testimony at the memorial of the change that took place in him when he received the Lord and after he received the Lord. And he had actually gotten a passion for making wooden crosses, a cross within a cross, and very beautiful. And the sister of the wife spoke. And when she spoke, there were three powerful moves of the Holy Spirit through her speaking. And you could tell because I felt it very much. And I looked, and the woman next to me was just crying, and not crying about sadness at all. It was she was hit by the Holy Spirit, and he was working in her. And because I talked to her about it afterward, and I felt it. I was just going, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, you know. And so the prayers were being answered. Prayers were being answered, and I saw the power of prayer. This morning, before that, the people that I was praying with in my Saturday morning group from the church, we prayed for that to happen. And it's like, I know God loves to have us pray that people receive Jesus, that they be touched. And we're doing it all the time here in this ministry. And I know that that has a lot to do with how, you know, the things that take place in Pakistan and Kenya and even over there in India. We don't pray about it much, but probably do. I know I do when I'm not with you guys. If that's what the Lord lays on my heart, that's what I pray. And it just was so exciting to, again, participate in that and see people be moved and receive an answer to prayer, because it was so much the wife's prayer that her husband's salvation would actually make a difference. The testimony and the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit's just like, it just puts exclamation points and proof of evidence, so that people in the group that were there to honor the gentleman could know what his heart had been, you know, what that change in him was all about, that they too could have it. And I don't know, I was just really thrilled. And it was like a privilege to be there while all of this took place. And of course, I let the pastor know how thrilled I was. It was just wonderful. Oh, okay. So I'm just giving testimony that, you know, prayer works. Keep it up, folks. Don't grow weary. And it's just wonderful to see the response to the prayers in a very moving way. And we do that here when we see something that is going on over there in Pakistan. And did you give testimony yet? Did you do something this morning that we have heard about and I just didn't get in time to hear?
Yeah, it had to do about speaking at the My Shalom about healing the brokenhearted, and they want me to start like a seminar there next week.
Awesome. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So God is on the move, and he definitely wants us to keep praying.
Well, tomorrow morning I'm speaking at Pastor Dove's church in Pearland, Texas.
How wonderful. Okay. Well, thank you for that.
I've been in touch with his son.
Yeah. Well, God will be with you, and we'll pray for you later. I just cut in. I'm sorry. I was overwhelmed with just joy.
Well, I want to tell you something that kind of funny today. In fact, it was just before I got it settled, just before coming on the show here. There's a friend of mine who I met him through John Holman. Bob is his name. And I lost contact with him, and I was calling, and he never returned calls. I sent text messages. He never returned the text messages. So not too long ago, I told Nancy, I said, I think my friend Bob, I think he's passed away. He's older than me, and he did have some health issues. I said, I think he passed away. I said, he just dropped out. He didn't contact me. But I knew he had a brother. He has an odd last name. And I knew he had a brother in Michigan. So I looked it up, and I got the brother's number. And as a last resort, I was going to call to see what happened to his brother, Bob. So today I'm looking at a text message, and there's a bunch of names on it. I got the message here somewhere. I don't think I deleted it. But anyways, they're asking about John McTernan.
Oh, my gosh.
And they wanted to know. Here it is, right here. This should be him. Is this him? Maybe I deleted it. But anyways, oh, yeah, here it is. Here it is right here. It's to Bob, Gary, and Jamie. Do you know any information that shows John McTernan also passed? Is that correct? Bob, have you confirmed that John McTernan has passed? I can't find anything. So then I responded and I said, I'm still here.
Wow.
So I called him. And I said, Bob? And he goes, yeah, John, what's going on? Where are you? I said, I'm calling you from New Jerusalem.
Oh, you are. You didn't tell us. Yeah, what a kick.
But here's the thing. He says to me, I've been trying to get a hold of you for months. I said, Bob, I've been trying to get a hold of you. And I said, I just told Nancy about 2 weeks ago. I said, I think he must have passed away. So Bob said, no. I said, but how come my calls and stuff aren't going through to you and yours aren't going through to me? But that's what happened. That's what happened.
That is just a scream. But you know what? You found out because the Lord arranged for you to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but it's weird. How?
Oh, yes.
I could see a problem maybe getting a hold of him, but he said the same thing about me. So he sent this text message out, and I ended up getting it, and I responded. Then I'm
praise
still here.
God. That is such.
In fact, well, I had to say to him, Bob, I'm getting ready for the show to start. I'll call you tomorrow. He said, all right. And Patty had prayed for him. Bob had. He had something he was in tremendous pain. I forget what it was, but I got Patty to pray for him, and he was instantly healed.
Oh, wonderful. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Patty well, no Frazier. Wonder he was trying to reach you.
Yeah.
And then, of course, his trying to reach you probably had something to do with the intensity of your wanting to reach him.
You know, good.
Because I know that often takes place, you know, with some friends that I have. Oh, I was just thinking about calling you, blah, 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 you know. But
this wasn't one or two phone calls. This was a text messages, phone call. I'd leave a message, Bob, you know, how you doing? Give me a call. I remember the last one I called, I said, Bob, I'm a little serious. I'm concerned about you, you know, because his phone was working. It was like, leave a message, but he wasn't getting them. And he called me and I wasn't getting them. Weird.
That's so strange. So strange.
That's weird. All right. Yeah. Well, we're going to have prayer and then we'll have a song or two. I told you tomorrow. So keep me in prayer about I'm going to be preaching on the Blessed Hope at Doe's Church.
Okay.
And it's the coolest church. It's the neatest church. It's in a children's
daycare.
And the name of it is, Noah's Ark. So he's renting it. So you drive down the street and there's this big sign there, Noah's Ark. But what a cool name for a church.
Absolutely.
Noah's Ark.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I went to a church one time that was in a daycare also. It's interesting how you can, you know, find and share locations like that.
Okay, let's pray.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for the great outpourings that you sent to America, Lord. Going back into the 1690s, Lord, Solomon Stoddard could see the patterns, Lord. And we ran into these cycles here where things were going great with you, and then 50, 60 years later, it was like the bottom fell out, Lord, and it was like the church was just disappearing, Lord. And then you'd send a great revival. So, Lord, we're due for it now. And we've been praying for quite a while for the great revival that we want to see it shake the nation, Lord. Atlantic to Pacific. And, Lord, I've been reading, just today I saw a politician from Alberta in Canada. And she was laying out the whole thing, Canada's relations with America, but the trouble that Canada was in economically and socially, Lord. I knew very little of this, almost nothing, but in the last couple of months, it's kind of, Lord, frightening for Canada, Lord, looking at it. So, Lord, any great outpouring that hits America, we pray that it would spread to Canada also, Lord. And that, Lord, we don't want any, because that hard left is very active in Canada. And, of course, it's been suppressed here. But, Lord, we wouldn't want the hard left in Canada to fracture our relationship with the Canadians. So we're asking for a great, great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that would reach up into Canada also, Lord, and a tremendous move of the Holy Spirit down into Central, South America. But, Lord, the real move of you, a deep move of you, Lord, that convicts people of sin and repentance, Lord, and Christ is their Savior, and walking in the reality of the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, hearts healed. People freed from being oppressed of the devil, strongholds broken. That's the real you, Lord. That's the real move. That's what we're looking for, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you for Solomon Stoddard, Lord, who really is the father, the father of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Or not the father of it, Lord, but the one that was able to identify the moves and put it down on paper, Lord. And then Jonathan Edwards, Lord, the great move of the Spirit through him and George Whitfield, Lord. And then James McCready, Lord. Lampier, Jeremiah Lampier, Lord. Terrible names. Seymour, Lord, Pastor Seymour, Chuck Smith, Lord. And so we want another move here, Lord, like you sent, and that it will touch the world, Lord. It'll go out to Asia and all of Asia, Lord, and into Africa, Lord. There's such a move. We see it, Lord, in East Africa. And I don't know about the rest of Africa, but East Africa, Lord, we can see and how the Muslims are so ripe for you, Lord. The Muslims can be dangerous, Lord, but nonetheless, Lord, there is a huge number of them coming to you, significant number coming to you in East Africa, Lord. And there's a big interest in you, in the Muslim imams from Pakistan, Lord. So India, where our ministry is, Lord, India, Sri Lanka, Nepal, Pakistan, Lord, Kenya, South Sudan, Uganda, Rwanda, Tanzania, all of Kenya, Lord, and Congo, Lord. But also we don't want to leave Pastor Abel out. Oh, and Henry Kaduzer, Lord. Great outpouring in these nations, Lord. We want to be a part of it, Lord. We want to be a part of this great outpouring, Lord. And Lord, we cannot forget when we talk about the outpouring, Israel also. Because there is the connection there, Lord, blessing Israeli believers. So Lord, we're praying for a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel, just like at the day of Pentecost, Lord. We'd love to see the church was birthed there in Jerusalem with Pentecost. And we'd like to see at the end, Lord, a similar great outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem affecting all of Israel, Lord. All of Israel. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you. Lord, thank you for the requests for the brochures. Right now, we have a need for 150,000 in Pakistan, Lord, and really the same amount in India, with 50,000 in Sri Lanka. And I thank you, Lord, that you used me, Lord, to write like this that can have such big impacts, Lord. I mean, when people can read it and win souls right to you from reading it, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord. But I ask the ability now for this price, Lord, for the printing, that it would be there, Lord, and these brochures would spread all over, Lord, where they're distributed, Lord, in India, Sri Lanka, Nepal, Pakistan, Lord, in Asia, Lord, all over it, winning incredible amount of souls. You will only know it, Lord, in heaven. We couldn't tell here now, but in heaven we'd know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you and thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
So we have, let me go over and see who's lined up here. I pressed the wrong button. Come on. There we go. Sister Rita, would you lead us in prayer, please? Sister Rita? Yeah, I just want I'm not trying to put a lid on the prayer, but I'm looking at the time. We got about 10 minutes left, okay?
Okay, so you want me to pray?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Father, I give you thanks for today and all that you have given to me, Father. And I thank you, Father, for dying for my sins on the cross, that I may have life, and that my life may be abundant.
Amen.
And that also, Father, that I'll be with you if I die or if I go, if I meet you in the air, I'll be with you for all eternity, Father. And you loved me, Father, when I did not deserve your love. I thank you for this, Father. Father, I pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America. I pray that you will forgive us in America for all the sins, for all our sins, and that you will heal America, Father. And I pray, Father, for the Christians in America, that they will turn from their lukewarmness, and that they would turn to your Son and love you and your Son with all their whole heart, soul, and mind, Father. And I pray, Father, and give you thanks for President Trump, for giving us President Trump, Father. Guide and direct him and protect him from the evil men and women of this world, Father. And also, Father, I pray for J.D. Vance and his wife, Anyway, J.D. Vance and his wife. And I pray for Elon Musk and all his children, 14 children, Father. I pray that these people will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, and that you will also protect them from the evil men and women of this world that wants to do them harm, Father. I also pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel. I pray that you will give peace to Israel, Father, and that you will, and that the Jews, I pray for the Jews in Israel, Father, that they will come to the saving knowledge of your Son and see your Son as their Messiah, and that you will soften hearts and stiff necks, Father. And I also pray for the that you will, I pray for the IDF. I pray for every single IDF soldier that they will come to the saving knowledge of your Son before it's too late, Father. And I pray that you will guide and direct Netanyahu, and that you would bless him and his wife, and that Netanyahu and his wife will come to know your Son, Father, as their Savior. And I think I already, and protect them and put a hedge of protection, Father, around them. And bless Chaplain John in all that he says and what he teaches. And bless Nancy. And I give you thanks, Father, that how you took care of Nancy, Father, when she fell. And I pray, Father, that you will continue to heal Nancy. And Father, anoint all the brochures that Chaplain John has written and the books that he has written, Father, and that many hearts will come to know you as their Savior from reading the brochures and Chaplain John's books, Father. And bless everyone, Father, that is online tonight. Strengthen us, Father. Encourage us and comfort us, Father. And I pray this all, Father, in the name of my Lord and my Savior and my God, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, I think that pretty well, you prayed us right here to the end. And what I want to do is close with the prayer covenant. And we'll see everybody, Lord willing, tomorrow night with Dave Hauser. Things, yeah, they're right under the radar of breaking out into big trouble. So we'll be covering all that tomorrow night. Now, hang on with me. I'm trying to get the show over. And I mean, to get it over so we can pray. Here it is. Here it is. Okay. Crying unto the Lord, prayer covenant. Abba, Father, we come before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, understanding the hour in which we live. We see the day of the Lord approaching, and we are crying out to you according to your word. We cry out in repentance for our sins and the sins of our nations. We cry out for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We realize that the time is short before the Lord Jesus comes for his bride. But according to your word, the outpouring of the Spirit will continue until he comes. We are humble before you with the manifest sins of our nation, recognizing how this offends your holiness. By faith, we ask for one more outpouring of the Holy Spirit, both to win untold numbers of souls for the Lord Jesus and to hold back the terrible spirit of Antichrist. With this mighty outpouring, we ask for the healing of the brokenhearted, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and the setting at liberty of them that are bruised. Abba, free us completely from the spirit of bondage and fear, and fill us with power, love, and a sound mind. Free us completely of unbelief, and have us grow mighty in faith to please you. In the past, you sent many great outpourings of the Holy Spirit, and we are asking our Abba for one more before the groom comes for his bride. The church was birthed with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we want to go with you in that same power. The great outpouring first came to Jerusalem. We beseech you for another great outpouring of your Spirit upon your people Israel, like you first sent 2,000 years ago. Abba, Father, we love you as little children, and believe the word with the same faith as children. We know when we ask our Abba that he hears us. Father, as the end grows near, it is like the days of Noah. To protect us from the wicked one and from the love of the world, we come under the power and authority of your word and your name. We are growing close to you for protection and asking you heal all the broken hearts of your people, along with freeing us from bondage, so that the bride is ready for the groom. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. God bless everybody. Lord willing, we will see you tomorrow night.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift,
yeah.